This afternoon. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for being here, y'all. This is the Shem Creek Task Force, and we've been meeting for a number of years now talking about a special area management plan for the Shem Creek area. And I don't really see many faces that have been at our meetings, so we're really glad to have you. We are coming to the end of our study, and hope to have something kind of exciting for everybody to take a look at very, very soon. But tonight we're here to talk about Tonight we're here to talk about Crab Bank, and so we'll have some information here for you on that. So, but at this time, I will entertain an approval of the minutes from our October 23rd meeting. Is there a motion? Okay, Mr. Barnwell has made a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Any questions, discussions, or changes? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. All right, and I understand there are some people that would like to speak, and I think our first speaker is Mayor Haney. Thank you so much. And it is warm in here, so I'm taking this off.
Hey, Will Haney, 316 Mallard Court, Mount Pleasant.
Thank you.
I want to thank you all for your work, and the reason that we wanted this on the agenda tonight is that what happens with Crab Bank could adversely affect Shem Creek for years to come. We would like for y'all to listen to ATM very closely. I've seen a preview of this, and we have a plan that we think has virtually no downside for the town or for the rookery, and we think that the preference from the Corps of Engineers is one that has a potential downside for both the rookery and for Shem Creek, and this will especially be affecting our merchants. The shrimp fleet, even though, as you'll see, the marked channel, the actual federal channel, from either plan probably comes out better than does the other side over on the Hog Island channel, which is more recreational and therefore more vital to the business interests that cater to restaurants and recreational boating on the creek. So I ask you to listen to ATM, and council will be taking a hard look at this as well. But thank you all. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Do we have others that have signed up to speak? All right. Is there anyone that would like to be heard? Yes, sir. If you'll come forward and give us your name and address for the record, and you have 3 minutes to speak. Thanks so much.
Yes, my name is Hamilton Reed Sherrod, 953 Lansing Drive, about 300 yards right over there. I'm a longtime bird lover, longtime boater, relatively short-time Mount Pleasant resident, been coming here all my life, South Carolina. I would just say that whatever we do with Crab Bank, we'll hear more about that later, and certainly the mayor's comments sounded great to me, at least. Whatever we do, we should keep in mind that that Shem Creek is number one or number two or three best asset this town has. And if you start piling up dirt or spoils over there right by that channel where it is now, it's gonna slide down. It's nature's gonna happen. So I would urge y'all, whoever's making these final decisions, to make sure it's done far enough away from that channel where the channel remain open. And in fact, I think the channel should be dredged right now, actually. And then lastly, I would say I've seen several instances of boats come around that corner, high speed. I think the no-wake zone should be moved further out because some kayaker is going to get run over. Thank you very much. Appreciate all your work.
I will just tell you that at our last meeting with the consultant for the task force, we made reference to the wake zone that it needed to be moved out.
Yeah, just moved out a couple hundred yards so people can see. Thank you again for your work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Does anyone else wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
My name is Jimmy Bagwell. I live at 41 Vincent Drive here in Mount Pleasant. I've lived in Mount Pleasant all my life, been here for 70 years. I've been around Crab Bank all my life, and I love the area. I love that part of the harbor. But I'm very concerned about the Corps of Engineers' initial plan to dump 660,000 cubic yards of spoil material, about 35% of which was going to initially, as soon as it was dumped, going to dissipate and go someplace else. I think that from what I've heard, the town's consultant engineer has decided that we ought to move this 1,100 feet southeast of where the Corps originally planned to put it, which basically puts it back in the original location of Crab Bank. I've worked on the creek. I now live on the creek. I've been around Shem Creek all my life. And as this gentleman said, I think it needs dredging right now. For some reason, and this is just a gut instinct on my part, but I go in and out of that channel all the time. And the Hog Island channel between Patriots Point and the northern end of Crab Bank is in my opinion, definitely getting very shallow. And there's a big bank building up over there. And I think if we put this close to that channel, it's going to hasten the closing of that channel. As the mayor said, it's very vital to the economic interest in Shem Creek. So I would support any move to move this project as far southeast as we possibly can. And listen, I love the birds. I love it. I think we need that rookery out there. It's vital to the survival of the pelicans and the shorebirds and everybody that nest out there and use it for protection. But if we let the Hog Island Channel fill in and let that flat become shallower and shallower, we're going to create a land bridge between Patriots Point and Crab Bank, and that is not going to be good for our rookery over there. So I support the moving of that bank further southeast than what the Corps has proposed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bagwell. Is there anyone else that wishes to be heard? Yes, ma'am. Come on. Thank you.
My name is Cynthia Tarvin. I live at 337 Seaway Circle in Mount Pleasant. I'm one of the owners of Tarvin Seafood and of two shrimp trawlers, the Carolina Breeze and the Miss Paula. I'm speaking also for several other shrimpers who couldn't be here tonight because they're readying their boats for the season opening tomorrow. Anyway, our business and our boats are located at the Wando Dock property, and everybody works out of there and travels through the mouth of Shem Creek to get to where they need to go. The Hog Channel at the mouth of the creek and the Shem Creek Channel are already really difficult to navigate for the boats, especially at low tide. Some of the larger vessels, including the Carolina Breeze and the Richardson Brothers and the Captain Tang, which are at the Wando Dock, already need to an hour on either side of low tide to safely navigate. So I also cannot tell you how many times I have seen private boats strand out on the area that we call the Hog Channel. And, you know, they rev their engines and they try and get off it. And really all you can do is wait till the tide comes in. But it is not an uncommon occurrence already. So it's already a problem. And I think it's going to become a greater problem with the Corps of Engineer plan. So I'm here to encourage you to instead adopt the ATM 440 or 660 plan, which will reduce the sedimentation impacts along Hog Channel and the Shem Creek Channel. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Anyone else wish to be heard tonight? Quiet group. Okay, thank you so much. All right, so now I think we have a presentation from the, the review of the Crab Bank Restoration Project being performed by the U.S. Corps of Engineers, but I think it's from the consultants, correct?
It's our consultants, and they'll be reviewing the modeling.
Perfect. Okay, thank you.
We'll just introduce, this is Sam Plager and Mark Gold with ATM Consultants.
Good evening. Thanks for being here.
Good evening. Thanks for having us. And I'm going to try to stay up around 50,000 feet. Some of this can get technical. If you'd like to go down lower, go ask questions, but I'll try to stay up high because it's smarter for me, and I brought along the brains behind the numerical modeling. But our firm is Applied Technology Management. We're in actually just across the street these days. We were founded in 1984. Office was opened in Mount Pleasant about 1987, I think it was. I moved in 1989. And a little bit about the company, won't stay with it long. We have offices across the southeastern United States. We specialize on basically four major service areas. That's coastal engineering, marine engineering, environmental engineering, and water resources engineering. So basically everything that water does, we sort of get into one way or the other. Our expertise and disciplines go across the gamut, the spectrum, if you will, of coastal engineering, to where we're looking at numerical modeling and forecasting what may happen with the deepening project of the scope and scale of the harbor in Charleston, did it in Savannah as well, down to boat ramps and docks and marinas across the United States and internationally. So in short, this graph is a chart of 1959. So it's a little busy. Apologize for that, but that's what happens when you look at old charts. But the yellow highlight out in the water shows the dry condition of Crab Bank at that time period in 1959. The red outline shows the condition of Crab Bank in 2017 as measured by aerial photography. So we did some analyses on the movement and migration speed. But in short, it's spreading and it's been thinning since that 1950s placement. It's moved approximately 500 feet northward just since 1994. It will continue to move northward, but the important point to be made here, any material placed in the system will be continuing to move northward. There's no doubt about that from a hydrodynamic perspective. We'll also talk briefly, as I mentioned, about Hog Island Channel, whether it's called Hog Channel or Hog Island Channel, either one applies, but it's basically a channel that exists between Patriots Point and the northwest corner of Crab Bank, which provides a secondary, not from importance, but secondary entrance and exit from Shim Creek out to the harbor. You'll note that last bullet there as well. The Hog Island Channel continues to migrate north and has narrowed significantly to the point of almost 25 feet per year. We were on it by boat a couple times this year, and the water depths at mid-tide are relatively shallow and will continue to aggrade. So it's a long-term migration, as I mentioned, and I mentioned that any material placed there would erode and continue to migrate in that same direction. The challenge that we had when we first started working with the town, it was the Army Corps of Engineers did not model or consider the effects of the placement of that large amount of material. And that's one thing that the primary thing that the town had us engaged to do was to evaluate from the plan that the Corps was proposing on where that material would go, how fast it would go, and what the impacts of the movement would be. So I mentioned before, it's 660,000 cubic yards, and that's the number of importance, but also it's key to note that the total placement is 825,000 cubic yards of material, and that's what was referred to earlier with the difference between the 825 and the 660 is an immediate loss of around 30% of the fine sediment. Everybody's familiar with pluff mud. Once they're getting into that new work material in the harbor deepening, and some of it's going to be a sandy material, some of it's going to be a clay and organics and our wonderful pluff mud, that's going to be immediately lost. And the island would be constructed from the remaining material that's of substance, and that would be about 660,000 cubic yard placement. So again, I wanted to stay at 50,000 feet, but our modeling efforts looked at the fine sediment distribution and movement over time, as well as the secondary and long-term effect of the coarse sediment movement over time. The Corps, it's important to note that they looked at multiple scenarios from a rookery and habitat value perspective, and that their original footprint was located primarily on the northwest half of Crab Bank, and that illustration that you see in the graphic is the original Corps proposal that was provided to the town at the beginning of our study, and where it sits relative to the remnant of Crab Bank in 2017, I believe, is the aerial, and then the 1959 placement. So this is some of the modeling results from our work, where we were looking at the original core plan, and there's an increased rate of northerly sediment migration, which would be expected. The important point, though, is increased rate. It would continue to move to north, as I mentioned before, but the increased rate is due to the placement of the 660,000 cubic yards of material. And that sedimentation rate in Hog Island Channel would be on the order of 0.5 feet, 6 inches per year above what's occurring today. Ultimately, in 10 years, things can change, events come and go, trends change, but ultimately there's going to be a loss in navigability in Hog Island Channel due to that accelerated sedimentation within the channel. What that does is not only takes away that secondary access into and out of Shim Creek for recreational boaters, It also would allow the introduction of predators coming over from Patriots Point and pretty much defeat the purpose of the construction of the bird habitat if those predators were to make it across. So what our firm did was looked at an alternative to that core plan, and we wanted to do some basic things. We wanted to match their volume. We wanted to match their initial acreage so that it would reduce any type of conflicts between an alternative plan. We wanted to take advantage of existing shallow water areas to the east and the southeast, and you can see on this image the blue plan is our plan compared to the red plan, which is the Army Corps' original plan. And you can see where the bulk of our material placement was to the south and southeast, south and east, southeast. So again, 660,000 cubic yards of sandy material, and it would result in a greater than a 50-year lifespan to equate to what the Corps was doing. The results of that work had basically three takeaways. There was a positive takeaway that there's a protection to the marsh shoreline along the village shoreline area due to the sheltering caused by the construction of Crab Bank, which is a positive. The other two are negative. One is minor changes to the channel in Shim Creek, the true federal authorized Shim Creek channel, which is coming from the bottom right of this image, as everyone knows, as you progress up to the mouth of Shim Creek, and then the Hog Island channel changes as well. You remember the last slide, the slide before, I mentioned there was a 0.56, I think, feet per year increase in sedimentation. This alternative results in a much significantly reduced increase in sedimentation of 0.15 feet per year on the order of 2 inches, 1.5, 2 inches or so. So if you put that in a percentage, it's a reduction in the impacts of the Hog Island Channel by around 71%, rather significant. Everybody still awake? Okay. So if you compare, the Corps then came back after a meeting with the town and consideration of our study, came back with a new plan. And that is what we're now calling the April 2019 plan. That plan, I know the drawing gets a little bit more difficult to read, but they moved their channel to the south and southwest in keeping with our suggestion. Ours was on the order of 1,200 to 1,300 feet of movement from the tip to the south, and theirs was on the order of their original one was 500 feet, and their new one was about 800 feet. So I'll get a graphic that'll show that much better than the way I just described it in just one moment. It resulted in an increase, a continued, which all of them will, an increase in sedimentation within that channel of 0.20 feet per year, which is about a 62% reduction in impacts from the original core plan. This is the graphic I was referring to. So the original plan is the red. The proposed alternative towns and ATN's proposed alternative is the blue. And then the Corps came back with their new plan, the April 2019 plan, in gold or yellow. And the numbers that you see on the graphic are measured from the shoreline. So the original proposed core plan, which is the one in red, is approximately 900 feet away from Patriots Point shoreline. Our modified northeast tip was approximately 2,200 feet away from that same shoreline. That's the 1,300 feet difference I was referring to a minute ago, which was hard for me to explain. Then the Corps came back with the yellow slash gold, and that resulted in an offset from 1,400 feet from the shoreline, or 500 feet further away from their original layout, yet, my math is correct, 800 feet short of closer to the island than our original proposed alternative. Got that? So this is a summary. I think it's the last slide. The three alternatives that I've been discussing are shown on the rows on the left-hand side. That's the original Army Corps proposal, USAC, stands for Army Corps. The next one down is the ATM slash town preferred proposal, and then the Corps came back with the April 2019 plan. And you can see the acreage creation with regards to the toe of the new crab bank, the acreage creation with regards to the berm, which is dry sand area, dry area for bird habitat. You can see the differences in the sedimentation rate increases. Please note those are increases. So the original plan, as I said earlier, was about a 0.53 feet per year, 6-plus inches, compared to the 18 plan, which was 0.15, due to movement of the material further to the south and southeast. So in summary, again, scrub banks migrating northward and Hog Island channels becoming shallower and narrower. Any project will have negative impacts to Hog Island Channel. The impacts, though, can be reduced through strategic material placement, and that was what our attempt was done. It's one of the images shown before of movement to that south and southwest, southeast position. So that's really the summary. The migration mitigation material, should be placed further to the southeast to account for that migration to the northwest. And by placing it further to the south and southeast, you reduce the risk to the rookery. You prolong the island's function at last 80 years approximately compared to 50 years. And you result in much less impacts to Hog Island Channel. And I believe that is it. So I'm more than happy to answer any questions you may have.
Are there members of the, okay, task force? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You state that with all three plans, you're assuming that there's going to be 660,000 cubic yards of material that is located in these various boundaries that you've shown us. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And can you tell us when Crab Bank was created, how many cubic yards was actually dumped to create Crab Bank?
I don't know that we have that exact volume.
The best we could come up with was around 300,000.
There's no record to say a definitive amount. They probably didn't measure it. They probably opened their dredge pipeline and let it run.
Any other questions?
I've got a few. Do you have a sense for the rationale behind the design or the way that the bank was originally constructed in 59? I mean, it's just interesting to me that it looked like it was laid in essentially three segments and more less crescent shaped. And I don't know whether that was just a function of, you know, what was convenient to them at the time or whether there was any logic to it or
I honestly don't.
Any records?
There may be records, but we weren't able to find them. Back in the 50s and 60s, open water disposal was a completely different animal than it is today. Mm-hmm. If you can go up and down the eastern seaboard of Florida, you find the islands dotting the entire. You can do the same thing and go on the intercoastal waterway between here and Myrtle Beach.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's just ease of disposal, but I don't know the rationale, no.
If you go back to one of the maps that shows the proposed versus ATM,
it was later, wasn't it?
Yeah, the one of the later.
Yeah.
This one.
I think that one, yeah. So is there logic to depositing the same volume of dredge material but only higher, closer to, moving south from where the Army Corps has recommended? I'm trying to get a sense as to why they would prefer to deposit the material as far north as they have proposed, and whether they can still achieve their goal in terms of the volume that they're dredging, but just depositing it higher than they would ordinarily. And I don't know the science behind that, or whether that there's any logic to that at all, or whether there's a construction challenge, or there may be other factors. I'm sure there are other factors that I don't understand.
Well, you hit on one of them, and I think you asked two questions. One is where they wanted to start, and they shared that with us in their meetings. They feel strongly that they need to have a good ground, high ground footprint to start the construction from, so that they can stage their equipment and move their equipment from that high ground further to the south as they start placement. And this image shows the remnant of the bank, but I think that correct me, Mark, if I'm wrong, but I think that's 2017. So if anybody's been out on a boat recently, it's much less than what you what you see by the white in this image here, significantly less. And does this have a, I don't know if it does. The true northern tip that's shown here in the sandy footprint, that remains, but a lot of the rest of that crescent-shaped structure doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So that was question one, I believe. Question two is, would constructing it at a higher elevation benefit the project if it was constructed at a higher elevation further to the southeast? Is that correct? I don't believe that would be the case. Their true objective is to create a project that has a long lifespan. They get a lot of bang for their buck in their analyses based upon benefit-to-cost ratios. So they want that project to last a long time period. And I would imagine that they've modeled that with maybe they haven't. I don't know. Whether they've looked at going from instead of 8 feet as a top elevation, going 10 or 12 feet, but I don't know the answer whether they did. None of the information that we received said that they considered it.
Okay.
Good question. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Mr. Barwell.
I don't understand why there's any resistance to this. You haven't said one thing that's negative. Everything you've said is a positive. What is their reluctance to move? What are they founded on?
I can't speak for the Corps. I would never try to do that. They shared some thoughts with us, and I can try to voice those, but I'm not speaking for the Corps.
I understand.
They have a construction time period and a letting of bids that they have, and they need to define what their footprint is to go into those bidding documents. And so a change may be outside of, and that's number one. Number two is a change may be outside of their of what they studied in their habitat analyses on where that material should go. In other words, they went through their studies as part, as part of the EIS document. And they've identified areas that would be acceptable to receive the material and would have high indices with regards to their habitat value.
Mm-hmm.
How that relates to not moving it further to the southwest, to the southeast, I can't tell you. I can share that we very clearly showed them on that graphic that's shown now on the screen. At that point in time, they didn't have yellow. It didn't exist.
They didn't have what? I'm sorry?
The yellow outline. Okay. They had the red outline. Now, what I'd also like to bring to the front, too, is that look at the distance between the red outline and the 1959 Crab Bank. Mm-hmm. So they significantly are to the north and northwest on the order, if you look at the scale of 1,200 to 1,500 feet. Our plan, the blue, which we shared with them, and they saw it, obviously shifts it a lot much further to the south and southeast. Why they came back with the plan in yellow, you'd have to get the Corps to answer that question. I don't know.
If you create a land bridge between Patriots Point and the north end of Crab Bank, you have zero habitat value. Mm-hmm. As soon as the predators can get there, you don't have a rookery anymore.
I would agree with that conclusion. I mean, obviously, as soon as the predators can get to the area, then the birds aren't going to use the area, and the habitat value goes to zero. Well, the bird nesting habitat value goes to zero. So, but whether the Corps is looking at that or considering that or putting that in their modeling, I can't speak to that.
In the current designs, are there any retaining walls or vetments, stones, anything to at least inhibit the erosion of displacement?
Migration, maybe?
Yeah.
No, sir.
There's a couple hundred thousand yards or 180,000 yards of sediment. You know, if you were doing that on high ground, it'd be costing you about $4 million for placing that dirt.
Sure. And part of this is beneficial use as part of their deepening project. So they went through that benefit-cost ratio to get comfortable with the costs are. There's additional cost to do it, which everyone knows because they're raising money to fund that additional cost of replacement.
You can answer my question.
Thank you, Mr. Barwell. Anyone else have any questions? Go ahead, Mr. Bennett.
I think I've got another, and that is, can you predict how quickly you believe Hog Island would fill in, Hog Island Channel would fill in, the difference or the margin between the proposal that APM has
made versus the Army Corps alternative? And is it a difference of, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years?
Well, the rate difference is, call it 0.4 feet. So that's, what, almost 4.5 to 5 inches per year. So if the problem with answering that question directly is the channel isn't a defined channel with a perfectly bottom and channel right. sides and slopes. So if you've got 4 feet of water and you're filling in, or let's say 2 feet of water, and you're filling in at 4 inches per year, an increase, then it would be quicker by what's my math? 8 years, it would be filled up sooner than it would be if the other plan was followed. I think, and as I said at the very beginning, placing 820,000, 660,000 of sand in the harbor is going to exacerbate the shoaling and sedimentation of the channel. It's the speed at which it does is what, why we were aiming to put that material as far to the south and to the east as possible. It sounds very practical. We looked at it numerically in all these fancy numerical models, but it's really practical. If you, the further south and the further east you put it, the longer it would take to migrate to the north, which we believe will continue with or without a project.
Yeah, because I saw the lifespan projections for the bank itself, but I wasn't familiar enough with the math to try to project what that meant for the dredging of the channel specifically.
It's an increased rate, and that fourth column over, I guess, it is sedimentation rate, 0.53 versus 0.15. And if you take that at 0.4 feet, then you're looking at 4 to 5 inches per year faster. Mm-hmm. So it depends on what the initial water depth is for how quick that would happen versus one plan or the other.
So it's your belief then that with your plan that it gives it a greater lifespan?
It gives you a greater lifespan. And keep in mind that the federal authorization for dredging doesn't take into account Hog Island Channel. So there's no money there available to keep that channel open. And one thing we didn't talk about other than the effect of potential predators making it over to Crab Bank is at low tide when you've got recreational vessels, commercial vessels, which we treasure, the recreational vessels going into bars and restaurants, paddle boards, canoes, kayaks, mix them all together and you take away an outlet, particularly shallow water outlet, which all the non-motorized craft can use, then you're forcing all of your users, your various users,
to one spot
into a confined area.
Mm-hmm. So. Thank you. All right, any other questions?
Do you know any increase in cost to the core moving this dirt? It's the same amount of dirt. It's just quite where you put it, right? I don't personally know of any increase in costs. I wouldn't. I can't imagine. I don't personally know of any increase in costs. I wouldn't. I can't imagine. I don't personally know of any increase in costs. I wouldn't. I can't imagine. I don't personally know of any increase in costs. I wouldn't. I can't imagine. I don't personally know of any increase in costs. I wouldn't. I can't imagine. I don't personally know of any increase in costs. I wouldn't. I can't imagine. I don't personally know of any increase in costs. I wouldn't. I can't imagine. I don't personally know of any increase in costs. I wouldn't. I can't imagine. I don't personally know of any increase in costs. I wouldn't. I can't imagine. I don't personally know of any increase in costs. I wouldn't. I can't imagine. I don't personally know of any increase in costs. I wouldn't. I can't imagine. I don't personally know of any increase in costs. I wouldn't. I can't imagine. I don't personally know of any increase in costs. I wouldn't. I can't imagine. I don't personally know of any increase in costs. I wouldn't